Hello and welcome back to episode 7 of season 2 of the Healthcare India podcast with me, Dr. Vikram Venkateshwaran. Coming to you live from Bangalore, today we're going to take a little trip back into history. We're going to talk about 5th century BCE to be very precise. And we're going to look at one of India's greatest physicians and his role and his contribution to the growth of medicine in India. Now, when you talk about India and old age medicine, we always talk about Susruta and Charaka, and they are no doubt the pioneers of medicine in India. There were others like Nagarjuna and others who really helped grow the Indian healthcare market in those days. But one name that stands out in all the list of doctors and physicians who've come up in India is Jivika. Now, Jivika is a very fascinating character. Everything about him is fascinating, right from his birth till his end. He remained one of the most influential figures in medicine in his time. He was so influential that he was also treating Gautam Buddha during his last few years, and was indeed the physician to the first, I'll say, true king of India, which is Bimbisara. But let's talk about Jivika for a while. Now, the interesting thing about Jivika was he was born around the 5th century BCE in a place called Rajgir, which is in Bihar today. And he was born in the kingdom of Magda. And what is very interesting about his birth is that he was found abandoned in a rubbish dump by one of the princes. So this was a prince, you know, who was, I think his name was Abhay. He was one of the princes of the empire. He was not the king. He was not the crown prince. He was just one of the princes. And he was taking a walk in the morning. And he found a lot of crows and vultures around this garbage dump. And as he got closer, he saw a live baby who had been abandoned there. And the crows and the vultures were waiting for the baby to die so that they can peck on him. And interestingly, it seems this baby belonged, there are a lot of theories about it, just like most historical texts. In this case, this baby, it seemed, was the child of the king and a courtesan. Some say it was the child of a king and some common lady. The courtesan theory holds true because, you know, most of the courtesans, once they were with child, they were not really appreciated in the king's, whatever household. And then there would be a steep decline in the number of, in what she could do with her career. So most of them either, you know, got rid of the babies or abandoned them after birth. And so maybe the courtesan thing is true. The child was called Jivika by this Prince Abhay because he was life in the presence of death, and the prince brought him up as his own. And in due course of time, Jivika completed his basic education. And then there is a little bit of strange things that keep happening. What happens, we don't know. There was a time when I'm assuming that the prince ran out of favor or ran out of money, or Jivika refused to take money from his, adopted father, from the father who adopted him, and he set out to Takshila. And there are other theories that Jivika was actually a prince in Central Asia and he refused the kingdom, etc. But I do believe this theory, the one theory that I'm mentioning to you, is probably what happened. And maybe the prince ran out of favor with the king and he was cut out without any money, because Jivika went on his own to Takshashila. He didn't have a dime in his pocket, and he reached Takshashila and he was introduced. It's a very fascinating system how the Indian universities used to operate. For example, Takshashila, the university ran because of grants and, you know, patronage from the kings and also from rich merchants. And the teacher decided whether he wanted to take a student or not. It's very, very similar to our Gurukul system, where the teacher made the call whether he wanted to take the teacher or the student or not. So in Takshashila, there was a teacher called Punarvasu, or Atreya Punarvasu, he was one of the architects of very, very experts on Indian medicine. He was also supposed to be a former royal physician. So he was one of the architects of how the healing process was documented those days. And his texts were highly read all across the world. And, of all people, Jivika lands up at his door and requests to be taken on as a teacher. And interestingly, Atreya Punarvasu, because that was the norm of the day, the teacher could decide whether he wanted to take a student without any payment, and he took Jivika on free of cost. And this is unthinkable today. If imagine I go up to a medical university or medical college and say I want to be a doctor and I don't have any money to pay, but can you take me in? I doubt if anybody would take me in. But those were the days, when the education system was slightly different. It was more Guru Shishya Parampara. It was led by a guru. And Atreya Punarvasu took him in. And from then on, for the next 7 years, Atreya Punarvasu taught Jivika a great deal about medicine, about treatment, about healing, but also taught him a great deal about observation. Now, the sense of observation is a very important trait for a doctor. I don't know how many of you are aware of it. A good doctor usually in about 30 seconds analyzes your sensorium and gets a sense of what is his next words going to be to you. And that's a hallmark of a good doctor. They're patient and they watch you carefully. They see how well you're dressed, what do you look like, how are your eyes, do you look stressed, do you look calm, do you look relaxed, do you look troubled. And depending on that, they will tell you the course of action. Now, this trait of a doctor observing everything was something that Arthur Conan Doyle picked up from his doctor, Dr. Bell, at Glasgow University. And eventually, these are the things that Arthur Conan Doyle put into Sherlock Holmes. And now Sherlock Holmes was known for his art of deduction, but also he was known for his art of observation. So Jivika became very observant and he became very good, and he could look at patients, look at the situation, and pretty much come up with a diagnosis. The interesting part was 7 years Jivika studied here without paying, of course, anything, but he was helping out in the university. He was working with his teacher, and his final exam, he was asked to go around Takshashila with a sickle and a bag. And the task given to him by Atreya Punarvasu was to pick out any plant that is useless in medicine. Any herb, any plant, any tree that is useless in medicine, bring me a sample. And after the stipulated time that Jivika took to go around Takshashila, he could not find anything which did not have medicinal qualities. This was fascinating. This is another great example of how our education system probably needs to look back at some of these practices. This is a highly practical exam. I know it's slightly vague if you say, okay, go around the place and tell me something that does not have any medicinal capabilities, but that was the exam, that was the teacher, and he set the exam for it. Today, all of us have the same standard exams, which we pass for the final, say MBBS or BDS, and then we go on to take our postgraduate exams. I think it's become very systematic, streamlined, but at the same time, it's become very, very theoretical. That's why even if you go to doctors who are slightly more experienced, they see things that a new doctor does not see. And today's doctors are even more distracted. So I really admire the way Takshashila ran as a university, and we might end up building Nalanda and building Vikramshila again because they're still in India. I don't know if we'll be able to bring back the philosophy that existed in those days, and this is fascinating. Anyway, Atreya Punarvasu wished Jivika well and sent him back on his way because he felt that he could do more for people rather than staying at the university. So after 7 years of studies, Jivika went back. There are so many theories to it. One theory is that some people got jealous of Jivika and they plotted against him and filled the teacher's mind, and the teacher dismissed him. And in some theories, it is like Jivika was sent back with some money to go back to Magadha. But the version I like the most was that he went back penniless. He came penniless, he went back penniless. All he gained was knowledge, sense of observation, and the blessings of his guru. And how Jivika went back was he was making money treating people along the way. So along the way, he will visit these towns, and invariably he will come to know of some case. For example, there was this case where this rich merchant, his wife was sick, and he went to their house, offered his services, said he was from Takshashila, showed him the parchment paper that showed the signature of his guru, and he was allowed to treat this woman, and she became well. The merchant was very happy, and he gave him money, and this is how he made his way back all the way to Rajgir. Now the interesting thing was, you know, during this entire course, as I've been reading these texts, I think the setup of hospital system was very, very unique in those days. I think a lot of people were treated at home, and hospitals, though run either by the king, by the monasteries, or by the temples, were more for palliative care. It was more like, there was no cure and just helping you ease into the final days. But I think a lot of home-based treatment was very important, and doctors used to go over to the homes of these patients, which shows us that there was a system like what we are calling today as remote care management or remote patient management. It is something that existed those days, and maybe it's a good idea because we all know that chances of cross infection are lower. If you are at home, recovery is higher because home food, home nutrition, and surrounded by loved ones, so your recovery is much faster at home. So it's very fascinating. But also there were a lot of super physicians like Jivika himself who ran clinics. So it's possible that both models existed depending on the severity of the case or the will and the skill of the physician. But Jivika goes back all the way to Rajgir, and there he is met by his adopted father, Abhay, who introduces him to the king. And the king is extremely happy because it seems Atreya Punarvasu was the one who treated Bimbisara's father as well. So Bimbisara, who's old now, and he needs a physician, and Jivika becomes his physician. It's very fascinating during these days because Gautam Buddha is around the same time and around the same area. And Buddha was known for begging for food, and he used to collect alms. And it seems he had, collected food in form of meat from a cobbler. And it was there was a tapeworm infection in the meat, and he was poisoned. And it is Jivika who Bimbisara turned ordered Jivika to help the Buddha, and Jivika treated the Buddha and cured him, not once but many times. There are also inscriptions of Buddha suffering from, you know, injury to his leg due to an assassination attempt, and Bimbisara treated Jivika treated all of them. So this is a very fascinating story of how Jivika, the super physician, became the physician of gods. And he was a physician to the king, but he was also the physician to Gautam Buddha, and he worked on a lot of cases. Now one of his favorite cases was when he worked with misplacement of intestines. He did performed a lot of surgeries, including, you know, cosmetic surgeries, intracranial surgeries, nose surgeries, etc. And all of this has been documented in various Buddhist texts, Pali texts, and he was also very, very famous for doing C-sections under anesthesia. So a lot of his medical procedures were followed. What he followed was what was prescribed by Sushruta and Charaka. But he also wrote something called Jivika Sutras, which shows how he had modified some of those procedures based on the technology and innovation of that times. And in some cases, he had also adopted new forms of acupuncture from Chinese travelers who were visiting India in those days. So there is a whole list of activities where, you know, Jivika, goes and performs these procedures, sometimes on his own, sometimes on the order of his king Bimbisara, because there were a lot of, you know, neighboring kings who would request for his help, and he used to do that. Now, Jivika, towards the end, also set up a factory set up his own factory for producing medicines. He set up his own monastery where he used to treat people. He wrote many books, including the Jivika Sutra, in which he had talked about how these conditions could be treated. He was also nicknamed as the Medicine King because of the influence that he had on the Chinese travelers during those days. A lot of these Chinese travelers took back stories about Jivika and his exploits and used to talk about him, and the Chinese gave him the title the Medicine King. It seems a lot of the therapies in places like China and Thailand today are based on some of the treatises of Jivika. So Jivika is considered one of India's first super physicians. Obviously, he's not in the same league as Charaka and Sushruta. And if you want to read more about him, the remains of his monastery are seen today in Rajgir. There are a lot of Chinese texts and Tibetan texts as well as Buddhist texts that talk about him. One thing that I think we should do a better job was of documentation. I think Jivika did a good job of documentation, but somehow a lot of the documents haven't survived. It's very important to know our history, but also important to see how these doctors lived during those times, and what was their role. And how, I mean, this story is so fascinating. It looks like an entire movie can be made on it. And the fact of the matter is, Jivika remains important today, because the two things I learned from his episode was a sense of observation, which forms the key to any form of treatment in medicine and also in management. And the second is the ability to develop and evolve with the times, include new therapies, new ways of looking at things, being open to new forms of healing, which is fascinating from this story. So I hope you enjoyed this story. This is slightly different from our regular episodes that we do on Healthcare India. I think sometimes it's very important to learn a little bit about our past. As always, happy to listen to your feedback. I know a lot of you have been reaching out to me. It's so fantastic to get the feedback from you. We've been working on a few ideas thanks to some of you who reached out back to me. Do email me at drvikram@healthcare-in-india.net. And also, in case you're on Twitter, do visit me on Twitter at drvikram. Do visit our website www.healthcare-in-india.net for the latest and the greatest in research that's happening, especially in the health tech space. And also, do get a chance. If you get a chance, do look out for my book, Own Your Health. It's available on Amazon, both on Kindle as well as on hard copy. It's a very, very excellent reckoner of the key parameters you need to track to take care of your health. So thank you for your patronage. Thank you for listening to me. And as always, I will come back in a couple of weeks or next week with a new idea, a new thought, a new process on healthcare in India. Till then, take care, stay safe, stay healthy. Bye for now.